Hey guys, Morgan and Chris back again, Pneumatic Musketeers. Sorry for the radio silence for the past couple weeks. We didn't do last week's episode because there was really nothing interesting that really happened, only like one or two things, and that just wasn't worth it for a podcast. And this episode was late because Wednesday we were busy, Thursday we tried to record, and both of our internet connections were going absolutely haywire.
Yeah, I've also been moving the last couple of days, so I'm going to use that as my excuse.
And also August for me, when we would have recorded the podcast, last podcast, I'd just come off 13 days straight of work, so I was just kind of like, I'm not doing anything today.
Yeah, he was pretty much impossible to reach, even for someone as connected as I am.
Yeah, I would get pinged from people in Airsoft, and I'd just be like, shut up, sleeping.
Nope. Yeah, I would see scene, and then
nothing
for several hours. And then I would get like a one word answer. All right. So to start off the news are a couple of pieces of news I'm really, really interested in. It's one of my preferred manufacturers, Crytek. I've been waiting for this ever since I bought my CRB. There were rumors that they would be releasing SPR and CRB uppers that are standalone, and those have finally come out. So instead of having to go out and buy myself a whole new Crytek, which I would have no problem with other than it's kind of expensive.
Yeah.
I can just go out and spend probably about half that. I haven't looked at the price point on these and just be able to switch between an SPR and a CRB.
Now, what I'm waiting for them to do is release a Shrike upper.
Yeah. I know they're also working on a PDW upper.
Mm-hmm. That, but yeah, there's, I'm remembering something about that, how it's not quite available yet, but honestly, if there was like a Shrike upper and box mag set you could get, that'd be great, because then you could just be like, I'm this gun, I'm this gun, I'm this gun now.
Yeah, I think our friend Whale, what he has is he has a Polar Starred lower and then a regular Crytek gearbox lower, and he swaps his CRB upper and his Shrike upper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for the Polar Star build, at least he needed a...
He needed a fire selector.
Yeah, a fire selector switch that he actually bought off of me because he was like, the Shrike selector switch, the Crytek one, is so weird that it doesn't work with my Polar Star setup.
Yeah. Actually, PDW upper, I'm not really looking into because the way the stock and stuff are, I would rather have that as a standalone gun.
Yeah, I actually really like that stock, though, too.
I love that gun. It's just a matter of finding one for the right price.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately, people aren't really.
A battery.
You can't really sell. You can't buy like used Crytek's currently because they're still new enough, and people still like them as much that there's not really a like buyer's market for them.
Yeah.
Unless you go.
They're
new.
Just fantastic guns. They don't break, so you're not gonna find a boneyard one. They're built solidly. I think I've mentioned this before, but at Red Storm East, mine fell off my sling a couple times because I have a really cheap sling. I was climbing up onto things and it was swung into brick walls, built like a rock. And speaking of Crytek, I did mention I would be doing a review of my CRB. I will be getting around to that eventually.
Probably about the same time period as when I said I'd be doing a review of the TAR, which I finally put out, yesterday or 2 days ago or something?
Yeah. Oh. I also have about a month worth of photos to edit and post for various events.
Yes, and I've been busy working stuff, so I'm actually going to be putting in a lot of time editing the RSE footage on Sunday. It's Friday currently. So
yeah. I'm actually taking a personal day, my first one in like a month and a half, on Sunday.
Yeah.
And assuming I don't sleep through the entire thing, I will hopefully get a whole big chunk of work done for you guys for content.
Yeah.
All right, so... Oh, yeah, here's our other Crytek news. We're still on our very first point. Back to the old discussion. The old style cast, I like that. Crytek has teased their officially licensed War Sports Industry LVOA, which is to be released this fall. They really just have a photo of the front couple inches of it and nothing else because they're Crytek and they like to tease us. I think they're kind of giving Wolverine a run for their money as far as teasing goes.
I don't know. Wolverine's kind of dropped a little bit of a bomb and awesome stuff, because they're not teasing some of their stuff anymore. Wolverine was over at, I think it was Airsoft GI, and I believe it was Rich Lort, the like head engineer or something of Wolverine. All I know is he's big in the company. I don't remember his actual title.
Yeah, he's up there.
He was showing off some of the new stuff they're coming out with, and they've got some really cool stuff. He was showing off the Bluetooth FCU, which is apparently just about finalized now, so that's coming soon.
Finally.
He was showing a Scorpion EVO drop-in trigger board, which is pretty cool, because when combined with that Bluetooth FCU, it's got a three-stage select fire, so it's got semi, burst, and auto. And that trigger board also has a functional empty mag and bolt release function.
So, you can't shoot on an empty mag.
Yeah, which actually, here the funny thing is, for any of you guys that are in the Wolverine Airsoft Owners group on Facebook, you may have actually seen me and some other people just kind of blabbering in this ridiculously long comment chain. We were actually trying to come up with a switch-based or a little infrared beam-based like brake beam system for the trigger. Yeah. Which I'm actually still contemplating installing into my gun, because that'd actually be really cool, just that it would stop shooting on an empty mag.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I hang out and participate in a number of that group's conversations as well, despite the fact that I don't yet own anything Wolverine at all.
You will.
And I will.
Oh, I will say.
I definitely will.
Yeah. And I will say, now I actually have a reason to be in there. I'm looking at my Hydra sitting on my desk right now. Unfortunately, it's not installed in my TAR. Because when I was fiddling with it like a complete and utter dumbass, I managed to fold in half a 1x10 O-ring and pinch it to the point that now it leaks. So hopefully there's a 1x10 O-ring at the hardware store that I can swing by in the morning before work, because I'm like, but it's, oh.
Yeah. Kind of continuing with one last thing. They're releasing a filtered grip line.
Yeah, so for people,
no more dust and dirt and nasty crap in your gun.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that is kind of a problem, at least in my opinion, is currently I've got the amped integrated grip line, which is like this fat grip line. It's really quite large. It's honestly about the size around as my pinky, which doesn't sound that huge, except I'm pretty sure the stock line is like quarter inch outside diameter, which just really isn't that great airflow wise. It doesn't matter for some people, but I'm like, filtered grip line but narrow bore, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have a filter that I can clip on.
All right, so in less exciting news, this weekend what I was hoping to do didn't happen, and I suppose it's partially my fault. Black Sheep Loring was canceled. They only had 32 registrations at time of cancellation, which was about 2 weeks ago. I had not yet gotten around to registering because I hadn't been sure if I would be able to get up there, which is why I say it's partially my fault. But I'm hoping next year they'll try again when Milsim is a little less saturated. Because if you look around, there will be weekends where you have three nationals going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something going on every week. And so right now it's just a bit oversaturated, and it's hard to get good numbers for any games.
It's great for people that can manage to get around and play those games, though, because it's just like it's Milsim Central.
Yeah, that's the kind of season we're aiming for next year.
Hopefully, event runners will comply and not just be like, well, we were having way too many last year, so this year we're going to do two events.
Yeah, so Black Sheep, if you guys are somehow listening, you might. We have some cool people who listen in the Orcast.
We do.
Try Loring again next year. I know Morgan and I both really, really want to play at that AO.
Yeah, it looks really fun. It just wasn't
doable. Yeah, transportation won't be an issue for me next year. I need to keep mileage low on my car at the moment, which is why I couldn't drive up all the way to Limestone Main for Black Sheep Loring.
Yeah.
But speaking of...
The people listening to us thing actually reminded me. So a couple weeks ago, I had like what I thought was a spam email. You know how people get those like LinkedIn, like blah, 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 has requested you on LinkedIn emails. I'm sure other people have gotten them in spam because I've gotten plenty of them. Well, like 2 weeks ago, I got an email and I was like, yeah, that's spam. I don't know this guy. It's some foreign name. And then I got a reminder last week, and then I got a reminder yesterday. Turned out I looked into it. The CEO of Action Army.
That's a company we have a bit of a history with.
That's the company that makes the Airsoft AAC-21.
We've had some cool conversations with them.
Yeah, so the CEO of Action Army invited me to LinkedIn, which was kind of cool. And finally gave me a reason to join. But I was like, wait, oh, this is actually an important person.
Yeah. All right. So kind of go in the classic Milsim.
Classic Milsim.
This is really classic Milsim. Msato is running Talcom this year. For those of you who aren't familiar, Talcom is essentially the birthplace of Milsim and organized airsoft in general in the northeastern United States. Dates back early 2000s, maybe even 1999. I can't quite remember. And they are definitely looking to keep it old school to the point where a $10 cash refund at the gate is being handed out if you are running TAN and you show up in DCUs. So that kind of got me to convert to the dark side and run TAN. I compromised my morals.
I know, you're...
My scum. Green morals... My green morals were compromised.
You're not even using Badlands.
It was specifically for Three Color Desert.
I know, I know.
But this iteration is being run as Battle for Talland. So I'm definitely excited to go. Our teammate Thomas is also coming along with me.
I am, surprise, working.
Some of us only work weekdays for a reason. Msato has also announced Operation Crypt 2, Resident Evil, which
and
is...
And I am going.
Yes, so am I.
I think this as many of us as possible are actually
November
going.
7th and 8th. It's going to be in Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
We're actually able to, at least Pneumatic Musketeers have gotten permission to crash at Tom's house, which is awesome because that's like half an hour from it.
It's in Fitchburg, which, if any of you played it, Operation Breaking Bad, I think Op Rhodey was there, if I recall the name correctly. From what I've seen, it's going to be almost like a horror-themed game.
Should be fairly interesting. I think it's less that it's going to be horror-themed, it's more that people have told them...
That the AO is kind of scary.
Yeah, they're like, but this AO feels like people are going to get body snatched out of here.
No, I think the Resident Evil subtitle does in part come from part of the theme of the event a little bit.
Well, which Resident Evil is that?
It's survival horror.
Survival horror. Is that against zombies?
Zombies, I think. I've never actually played them.
I haven't either, which is why I'm questioning. I know.
It does seem to be a big theme in Airsoft, though, because I think it's Wii has their Biohazard Edition handguns, which is the name in Japan for Resident Evil.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. Moving on. Operation Lion Claw's Milsim series has announced Op 214. Which is a military fundraising game, much like Op Devil Dog. We had mentioned that Lion Claw's Tactical Challenge was being delayed to put more resources into a game, but we couldn't say any more about that. A couple weeks ago, this was publicly announced. So Operation Devil Dog is alumni and active and former military only at Camp Pendleton at K2 Combat Town, I believe, is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Operation 214 is going to be at Rock City Amusement Park or Rock City Adventure Park or something like that, out in California. That looks really cool. Yeah. Not a game we can make it to, but it still looks cool.
Yeah. Speaking of things that look really cool, I'm pretty pleased to have been able to get this information for us. As far as I know, we're pretty much the first publication to actually be releasing this.
I have wanted to do this cast for days, just so we can get
Chris
this out.
Chris has been,
and talk
like,
about
ranting
it.
About, like, secret things.
I have been, like, secret things. This is OPSEC in our group chats.
We've got some awesome news. Involves Glocks. And unfortunately, this isn't the awesome news that some company has picked up licensing to produce Glocks in the States.
So I have mentioned before I've wanted a G26, G27, just so I can have a little micro Glock. This is a step further.
This is the Glock 42. It's being produced by Stark Arms. It should be out sometime in September. Imported price to the States is $160. They come with 12-round mags. Those are $27 imported. There's also a 14-round extended mag. I'm not really sure how that counts as extended. That
I'm not a fan of it. I don't like the looks.
It's got like a longer pinky grip or something.
Yeah.
So basically, there's not many people that know about this currently. I have a contact.
I can count on one hand the number of people.
Literally.
I know outside of Stark Arms.
It's
me, Morgan, his contact.
And I think one other person.
One other person.
And he gave us permission to talk about this on the cast. So the Stark Arms Glock 42, it's not compatible with standard Stark Arms stuff. It's much thinner. It's very much so a micro Glock. Chris and I, I'm pretty sure, are both. Well, I know he is. I'm getting one, too, I think.
I might get a second.
he's planning on getting so many mags for it. It's ridiculous. But
yeah, I think I'm going to get 4 extra mags for it.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's honestly going to be mostly a holdout gun for me.
Yeah.
For games where you get searched, just because it's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But I there will be games where I'll go out for CQB with all 5 mags and run that.
Yes.
That'll make some entertaining footage for you.
Mm-hmm. If you guys are interested in picking up one of these, I wouldn't call them pre-orders yet, but kind of put your name in the list. Orders are open. It's kind of through Facebook. You got to search up Stark Arms Glock Owners Group. Ask to join there. The admin is the guy who imports this. That's the reason I said prices are imported. He has a contact which allows him to get these stuff into the States. I was able to get a Nova Glock 19 slide and some other stuff through him. Came in just a couple days. Honestly, the Nova slide is beautiful. I shared pictures of it. I should put more up on the website because it's awesome.
Should do a video about that gun, actually.
I should, once I get all the kinks worked out of it, because things.
Yeah. And once you get all the other videos we have to do out.
Yeah, I'll do a video on that later.
At some point in the future, just like the rest of our content.
This season.
Yep.
We'll go.
So
the Glock 42 definitely looks like a beautiful little gun. I've actually seen pictures of it. Chris has seen, I think, slightly lower res pictures because for whatever reason he's not in the Stark Arms Glock Owners Group, which were the better ones were shared, and I forgot to share them with him.
I can get added in.
I recommend that.
And then one thing to mention is these are possibly going to be limited quantities.
I think I may have mentioned that, but I'm not sure, so saying that again is a good thing.
Limited quantities.
They're probably going to be available in a larger quantity at a later date. This is initial run. This is the guy seeing how many people or how many guns he can get his hands on. He's buying 5 off the bat. Like 5 guns.
Your importer.
My importer is, and not buying 5 to sell to people. He's buying 5 personally.
For himself. I think I was joking and saying I was going to buy 5.
Here's the funny thing, though. I actually found out he doesn't play airsoft.
All right.
He makes, like, components for airsoft and designs upgrades.
Is this the guy who made your CNC?
Yeah.
Hammer and trigger?
Yeah. So he, like, designs upgrades and stuff. He's like, but yeah, so I don't really play.
Yeah. All right. And so I guess that leads us to our term for this week. It's a term many of you may or may not have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've made comments about this. I think we even have an episode titled along these lines.
There's a good chance of that.
Yeah. And the term is LARPsoft. So LARPsoft would be a game where role-playing is a big part. For those of you familiar with Stag Ops games, the red team situations where you encounter wandering civilians and you have to negotiate with them, that would be a component of LARPsoft. The idea for this term pretty much came up when
We do, in
I
fact,
think we
have.
We all pointed this out. Yeah.
Season 2, Episode 5, LARPing with BB Guns.
Yeah. We had pointed out that Airsoft was pretty much LARPing with BB Guns. Other things this could apply to are more reenactment-focused games, something in the vein of the former East Wind series, which was hardcore Milsim Cold War-type stuff. That is no longer a series, so this year's was the final one. So as much as I would have loved to make it out there, that won't happen. What are your thoughts on LARPsoft?
I like the term. I think it's funny. I think it applies heavily. I think it definitely applies. I would say not even, I guess that's Red Team. I'm just remembering, the Goat Hub incident and, at the last Stag Ops game.
I witnessed that.
I did. I was there for some part of it.
Yeah.
I was definitely there for, this is a construction zone, not a war zone.
I was not there for that part. That was not on my patrol.
That was funny.
Yeah. But I think that's about it for this week, guys.
Yeah, a little bit longer episode than we have been doing, but that's because we had more content.
So this we'll is get more back... like a normal length episode. Yeah.
We'll get back on schedule next week, guys. It's just been hectic. Hopefully. And my work schedule is dropping down to a reasonable level where I'm not actually doing overtime. And
though, for fair warning, I am starting school in about a week and a half. And also moving still. So I have two moves to do. So
I'm sure you'll figure it out.
We'll figure stuff out. We always do.
Yep.
That's kind of our thing.
I'm Morgan.
I'm Chris.
This is Pneumatic Musketeers. We're signing out.
And we'll see you on the field, guys.